sense, that's what's happened to all of us. God has created us in His image. But what happened is that sin entered the world and we began to kind of look like that, those carnival mirrors. Sin has distorted our image of God that is within us. And now we live in a world where people, where it's full of people who are distorting God's image. But that's not to say that because of sin and God's image has been distorted in man, that doesn't mean or imply that God's image has been eliminated. Because while those who are lost, those who have not been redeemed, while they're not able to reflect the divine image to the same degree as those who have been saved or those who are being conformed to the image of God's Son in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, there is still, even in sinful man, he bears the image of God. I'll just call your attention to Genesis chapter 9. After Noah got off the ark, God said that the punishment for murder would be capital punishment. He says in verse 6, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." And it doesn't matter who you are, you have been made in the image of God. And so I just want to share with you tonight three applications, three things that means, and I hope I put them in a way that are easy for us to remember tonight. First one is this: because we've been made in the image of God, our Creator, well then we need to connect to our Creator. We need to connect to our Creator. Human life, your life, my life, will never be as it was designed to be unless you stay connected to the Creator. Your life will never be as it was designed to be if you do not follow the Creator's handbook. It will never be that way. I mean, just imagine you go home tonight and there's this big, huge piece of machinery in your front yard that has all sorts of pulleys and buttons and clamps, and you're wondering, what is this thing? What does this do? And you're looking around at it and you just don't understand its purpose. You don't know what it's supposed to do. But then you look down and you see a book. You see an instruction manual. And you pick it up and you begin to read it and you realize that this is the instruction manual and it's written by the one who created this big contraption. Let me read this instruction manual and I'll figure out how to work this big piece of machinery and I'll figure out what its purpose is. But without that instruction manual and following the instruction manual, that piece of machinery is never going to function as it was intended to. In the same way with us in our lives as human beings, unless we pick up God's instruction manual, if you will, and follow it, our lives will never function as they were designed to be. It will always be distorted, much like those carnival mirrors we discussed. But if you follow the instruction manual, if you submit to Jesus Christ, if you bow your knee before your Creator, And as your life begins to shape and to mold back into His image, you will find out that your life has purpose now and your life will have purpose for all eternity. Because there's something about this conforming to the image of God that really prepares us for eternity. And I can't help but think of, I don't have it on the screen, but 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be like has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is." You see, living for God now, connecting to Him, following His plan gives us purpose here and for eternity. Stay connected to the Creator. Second of all, care for all human life. Because we have been made in the image of God, well, the implication is that we must care for all human life. I mean, think about it. The fact that every person male, female, is created in the image of God. What that means then is that all of life is valuable. And if every person is made in the image of God, then every person, every human being, should be treated with dignity and respect. That includes an unborn baby. That unborn child is not to be killed just because it's not convenient to have a child, or because the parents would rather have a boy than a girl. And that doesn't mean that there's a child or someone who is physically deformed or maybe mentally deficient in some way. That's still human life. Those individuals are still made in the image of God. And as Christians, as God's image bearers, knowing that everyone is made in the image of God, then we should be able to understand that we must endeavor, we must strive to treat all people with dignity and respect, regardless of their gender, regardless of their economic status, and regardless of their skin color. Remember the song you learned as a child? Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Every human being is precious in the sight of God. And I think about the words of Jesus in Matthew 25 at verse 40, where Jesus says, "Whatever we do for the least of these, my brothers, you did it also for me." And so as Christians, we care. We care for all human life. As Christians, we strive to be kind to everyone. As Christians, we strive to be merciful and forgiving. We strive to be loving to everyone. And we do all of this out of concern for those who have been made in their Creator's image. We must care for all human life. And then number three, and before I go further, if you didn't get an opportunity to listen to Doy's sermon this morning, I hope that you did. But if not, it would be worth your while to listen to that sermon of what he had to say about this topic as well. But a third implication is to commit to His glory. Since we are made in the image of God, we must commit to His glory. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to notice that that text. I don't have it back on the screen again, but in Ephesians chapter 4, remember what it said there in verse 24, but I'm going to back up to verse 22. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 22, where Paul says, "You put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." And so what this means is that as Christians, we must commit ourselves to growing in our relationship with God. We must commit ourselves in becoming more and more like Him. In fact, you go down to chapter 5 at verse 1. After He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you, along with all malice," He says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Setting up the example of this is God. This is who God is. This is what our Creator is like. And then He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." And so what that passage tells us is that we must make every effort. It must be our goal to strive to reflect God's image in every aspect of our lives. That we must strive to reflect God's image in every relationship that we have in our lives. And what that means is that we're going to act the way that God would act. We're going to speak the way that God would speak. We're going to treat people the way that God would treat people. Or we're going to love people the way that God loves. We're going to serve in the way that God would serve in our families, in our workplaces, in our church family, and in our neighborhoods, or wherever it is that we go. We are going to commit to His glory. That's the purpose. This is what it's all about. This third point here is what it's all about. Why am I here? What is my purpose? It is for the glory of God. When you think about that question, why did God put me on this earth? Well, I know I'm not part of the animal kingdom. I understand that I'm made in the image of God. I have the ability to think, to reason, to love. I have those abilities. God's wired me in a certain way after His image. And we all strive as humans, though, we want to make a mark. We want to make a difference in some way. Well, God's told us how we can do that. God's told us how we can make a mark on this earth in our lives. And I'll just share with this Isaiah 43 to tell you what that is. Verse 7, Isaiah 43. Everyone who is called by my name, the Lord says, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, I'll read this to you in verse 11. Ephesians 1 and verse 11 says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ, watch this, might be to the praise of his glory. So you see from those two verses just right there that we were created to glorify God. And we are to do that in every aspect of our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it all to the glory of God. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And so then, because you were bought with a price, glorify God in your body. And so I ask all of us the question tonight. Are you living on purpose? Are you living for God's glory? Or are you living for your glory? You know, Paul summed it up last week in the morning assembly. We talked about Philippians chapter 1. And I wanted to keep going there in Philippians chapter 1 because Paul sums his life up. Later on in that chapter, remember what he says? Remember what he says in Philippians chapter 1? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says over and over again, when you read chapter 1, you get the sense that what Paul is saying is that Jesus Christ is my purpose. It's all about Him. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's how we should all live. To realize that God has placed us here for His glory, for His purposes. You see, not only have I been created in the image of God, I have been created for His purpose. And the mark that I am to leave on this earth is not about me, it's about God. That's the mark, that's the difference that we should make. That's what we should keep in the forefront of our minds, of all that we say and all that we do, that I want to glorify God. I am not here for the personal happiness of Zach Lee. That's not my purpose in life. That's not your purpose in life. We are here for the glory of God. We need to glorify God through our careers, through our marriages, through our families, and through this church. And if we fulfill that purpose for which we were created, then by extension, the byproduct of that is that I will find joy, peace, happiness, fulfillment in life. Because I've made my life about God. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Or I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is saying, I want you to live the full, rich life. I want you to have a life that is meaningful. I want you to have a life that is abundant and full. And I have come to bring you that. And when we come to understand that God created us for His glory, I'll find purpose. That I have been made. That I have been formed, as we go back to Psalm 139. I have been formed for a purpose and for a reason. To glorify God. To bear His image. To tell others how great He is. I couldn't help but think while we were singing. The singing was beautiful, by the way. How amazing it was that we have these doors open, and what a blessing it is the breeze was coming in. It felt great down here. But here we're singing so loudly and beautifully. How great is our God. And I just prayed, oh, I hope somebody's walking their dog down the parking lot like they always do. I hope somebody's walking right past and they hear us. They hear us singing and glorifying and praising God. How great is our God. That's our purpose. That's our purpose as we bear His image. Well, thanks for listening tonight. It's been great to be with you. We want to give you, anyone, the opportunity, if you need to make your life right with the Lord, if you need to put on Christ in the waters of baptism, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. That is available. And there's nothing that will stop us from doing that. If you understand that you are in need of forgiveness of your sins, and that through the death of Jesus, that His blood and the waters of baptism by faith washes away our sins. So if we can help you do that, please let us know as Dan leads us in a song.